When my brother and I were young and we'd ask my father for an allowance or spending money, he would raise his voice to oratorical heights and recite a line by the Roman poet Juvenal. "My children, luxury is more ruthless than war." It was his way of teaching us the concept of jugaad, which is a Hindi word that means resourcefulness. He wanted us to be strong and scrappy. It might also have been his way of avoiding having to spell out the truth, which was that he probably had little money to give. The first stones in my path to Somasource and this book were laid long ago, before I was even born. My parents emigrated from Bombay to Buffalo, New York, in 1978. The Rust Belt city was a brutal adjustment for this artistic, worldly couple. My mother's ancestral home in Calcutta was such a hub for the Indian literati, it had been dubbed an incubator of souls. And then there was the weather. In the winter of 1981 to 1982, 9 months before I was born, Buffalo recorded 112 inches of snow. A few years later, desperate to escape the region's frigid winters, my tropical parents followed the sun to Arizona, moving multiple times before finally settling the four of us, by this time my brother Vaid was born, in Southern California. Although we were never poor by most standards, my family was incredibly money conscious. We shopped exclusively at discount and thrift stores. We rarely ate out, and our tightly budgeted vacations took place in campgrounds and national parks. Our biggest expense was our home, which my parents rented in a neighborhood beyond what they could comfortably afford to ensure that their children attended good public schools. As little as we had, we made do. My only inkling of what true poverty might look like came from an anecdote my mother shared when her children didn't finish their plates, the one about the time she threw a piece of bread onto her Calcutta street for the local stray dog, and a street kid rushed over, pushed the animal away, and gobbled it up. That story often made me wonder, why was I so lucky when there were so many children in the world who were not? Along with the words of Roman poets, my father also passed down to his children a deep sense of social justice, a legacy, perhaps, of his Jesuit education in the Catholic schools of Jamshedpur, about 140 miles west of Calcutta. We were expected to notice the inequities in the world and try to make things better. I took the lessons to heart and did what I could. In middle school, I joined my local chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. When I was about 15, I won first place at the state science fair for a marine microbiology project that addressed the issue of world hunger by testing the possibility of growing food from chemosynthetic bacteria, bacteria that don't need sunlight to create energy. I started my high school's chapter of Amnesty International. As I got older, however, I came to the conclusion that merely making things better was not sufficient. There was an underlying problem fueling most of the injustices these organizations were created to address, a root cause that needed to be fixed. Fortunately, I come from a long line of passionate, determined people who showed me through example that every individual has the power to instigate change. In fact, if my maternal great-grandfather hadn't believed it, that street child could easily have been me. A family rises. My great-grandfather's name was Sharath Chandra Jana, and he did something exceedingly rare for a boy from a low-caste Indian family. He rose. Born in a poor fishing village in West Bengal, his intelligence attracted the attention of the nuns in his Catholic school. With their encouragement, he went on to university and law school, becoming one of the top trial lawyers of Calcutta. Yet he never forgot how he'd been forced to sit at a separate table from his schoolmates because of his low caste, and he always chafed against any system that barred people from opportunity by virtue of their station in life. He made it a point to take pro bono cases of tribal people who were being discriminated against and had no prayer of finding representation. My mother had memories of strangers staying at the family compound for days while they waited for their court appointments. Her parents met because, like my great-grandfather, my grandmother Christiane, a beautiful Belgian redhead, took an opportunity to change her destiny. I know this story because Christiane documented her amazing journey in a book called Le Tour du Monde avec $5, which translates to Around the World with $5. Her family, the Zeebrugge, fled Belgium in 1940 to escape the Nazi occupation. When she was 25 years old, craving adventure and fed up with the stifling secretarial job she had landed in Paris after finishing university, Christiane joined a group of friends planning to travel the world, spreading a post-war message of peace.